12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." When you talk about Bible love, there are six things you've got to have. You've got to have maturity. You've got to know the love of Christ. You've got to be somebody who's experienced it. I didn't understand what real love was until I got saved. I always thought love was something that dealt with physical attraction or lust or personal desire, maybe sympathy or compassion. Webster says it's the strong feeling of personal attachment. But it also takes not only maturity, it takes submission. It's recognizing that in the Bible, Bible love is a choice. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8 talk about how God chose to love Israel. Not because they earned it or deserved it, but because he chose to. And Bible love is a choice we make. It is not a feeling that we have. Besides submission and a choice, it's a communication. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. A little different maybe than what you've heard of before, but our text verse is John 15, 12, that ye love one another, one to another. We understand this when it comes to the gospel. We understand this completely because in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therein is the righteousness of God, which is from faith to faith." You remember, somebody gave you the gospel. Somebody brought you the gospel. Two Sunday nights ago, the teenagers were in there with us, and we wrote out our testimony. Several of you left them for me to read, and I want to say thank you. That was a blessing to read your testimony, how you came to know the Lord as your Savior. And the truth is that was the moment somebody brought you the gospel. Whether one person wrote in their testimony how they were sitting in the Kmart parking lot and their father explained the gospel to them. Another person wrote how they were at camp. Another person wrote about being at a youth rally. And somebody gave them the gospel from faith in them to faith in that person. Love is supposed to be the same way. It's supposed to be something we communicate from one to another. It is not to be static in us alone. It is to be given out. It is to be communicated to the next person. In Ephesians 5, we think of it's easy to put it in the context of marriage, but it says in Ephesians 5, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the husband see that she reverence her husband." Now, I understand that it talks about husbands are to love their wives sacrificially as Christ loved the church, but I also want you to understand that in that context, our love for the person sitting next to you right now, your church family, is the same way. Because in John 13:34, he said, "A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." That's a qualifier there. Jesus said, you're to love the person sitting next to you, whether they're blood kin or not, they're kin by the blood of Christ. You're to love them as Christ loved us. That's why we call this love one another fellowship. It's not just for married people. It's because all of us, do you understand, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are to love one another. Now, for you married folks, are you surprised to find out that you're married to a sinner? Was that a shock to you, sister? Wasn't a shock, was it? Did you know your spouse is married to a sinner? Did you know that? That's true. Your spouse is married to a sinner. In all cases, you think about that for a minute. Did you know that? Yes, if you're not sure, ask your spouse. But when you're looking at church members, do you understand that everybody in this church, everybody, all the brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what I'm saying? Whether they're members of the church or not, did you know that they're sinners just like you are? Yeah. And our relationships, I'll tell you right now, your relationship in the family, your relationship in the church, your relationship with brothers and sisters in the family of God will never be right like it should be if it's mechanical. Think about your relationship with God for just a second. If it's just something you check the box on, your relationship with God is not what it should be. You look good on the outside. You may feel good by salving your conscience and said, I read my Bible. you know, or I prayed. And if you like, and I know I make a joke out of it, but all of us pray sometimes. Sometimes you pray on the street. Sometimes you pray behind the wheel. Sometimes you pray when you see the police. Sometimes you pray when you go to the doctor. Sometimes you pray when you got to go home and you knew you're in trouble. Then you got to pray. When the teacher says, hey, I'm calling your mama. Then you start praying. You start walking home and you have what we call a prayer walk. Oh, Lord, let them, I got to go to voicemail. Let me find it. Or whatever, you pray. But the truth is, do you realize if your walk with God is mechanical, just checking the box, it's not what it's supposed to be. But if your love relationship with the brother and sisters in Christ sitting around you is mechanical, then you are not right with God. What are you talking about, preacher? Listen, because your relationship's going to fail. You know, you're going to spend eternity with the people you're looking at right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're going to spend eternity. And I hope you got a house. Hope your mansion's butted right up to mine because I'm going to play the music loud, right? I'm going to play the music real loud when I get to heaven. And right on, I'm going to shake the walls, brother. It's going to be exciting. Oh, it'll be so much better. You're right, brother. It'll be on tune, won't it? That's right, Brother Jim's right. Brother Jim's right. It'll be on pitch all the time. But the truth is, if your relationships, not only with God or your spouse or your kids or your family in Christ, is mechanical, just something you have at the four walls of this church, it is not what it should be for the Lord. It's just not. You need fellowship. You may not think you do, but you do. We were built for community. Think about it. When Adam was in the garden alone, he didn't have anybody tell him what to do. It must have been heaven, right? No, just get it. No. God said, I'm putting you to sleep, make a loudspeaker. He pulled out a rib. That's what he did. Some of you are going to get that. It's going to be funny later. I'm in trouble when I get home, but you'll laugh. Anyhow, don't bring it up when you get home. It's bad. But no, it wasn't good that man should be alone. God, did you know God exists in community? He's a Trinity. He's a single God. Yes, but he's a Trinity. He's in community. And then Adam was made, and Adam wasn't good that he was alone. So God made him in community with his wife. And then he created the home with his kids. We were made to be in community. We were made to be together in fellowship together, to serve together, to love each other. But that love is to be communicated from one to another. Now, there in 1 Corinthians 13, we call it the love chapter. The old English word is charity. Charity means doesn't mean what it means today. Today, it means taking pity on somebody and just, you know, here you go. No, charity in the old English, 1611, meant I love you so much, I can't help but give of myself to you because I love you. Whether I get anything in it back or not, doesn't matter. The word charity means I am motivated to love, to act on your benefit without strings attached because I love you. So when it says charity or love that motivates me to act suffers long and is kind. A few Sunday nights ago, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit and how that long suffering is one of the first and most primary ways your lost friends and family will experience the love of Christ. Because love, joy, and peace of all the fruits of the Spirit are inside jobs. But long-suffering is a manifestation of that outwardly. When you are long-suffering with the shortcomings of others. There's 9 characteristics here in chapter 13. You've heard it say, it suffers long, it is kind, it envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, doesn't seek her own, is easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. As I was studying this afternoon and going back over it, it kind of hit me for the first time. There are 9 things here that just kind of jumped out. There's patience. There's kindness, there's generosity, there's humility, there's courtesy, there's unselfishness, there's a good behavior, there's guilelessness was the word. It jumped out, but I couldn't. I'm trying to put it in modern day English. It's the fact that there's no deception there. And sincerity. These 9 characteristics are actually expressions of love. It is ways you and I communicate love to the person sitting right next to us. But let me ask you a question. Is patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, sincerity, are those characteristics that you express in love? Are they indicative of your type of love? The love you communicate one to another? Is that what's there? Now, it says in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love. So that means the Holy Spirit empowers us to express supernatural love. The Bible says in Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. My greatest debt is to communicate love to each person. That's my debt. Now, self-preservation is like one of the basics of human behavior. It's taking care of ourselves. It's the first law. But to love somebody like we love ourselves at that self-preservation level, it demands a supernatural kind of love. That's why it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, for ye are yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You do not come wired from your mama knowing how to love with God's love. You receive that from God. You are taught it from God. I know that in our marriage, we've been married 29 years, going to be 29 this June. I remember. Did you? I remember. Praise the Lord. I remember. I was there, and I was sober. And it was 20. Anyway, that's a joke, because I wasn't really. Anyway, it was 29. I'm just kidding. It's 29 years ago. Some of you get that, but you don't get my jokes. I don't get that. You got to be from Illinois to understand it. I know. Otherwise, anyway. I remember when we first got married, I thought love was lust. I thought love was physical attraction. I thought love was something other than what it truly is. And then as I experienced the love of Christ, I started to realize that my love for my wife was awfully hollow and shallow. And I realized that grace is not just for saving us. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, we can go to God's, go boldly unto the throne of grace, where we may obtain what? Mercy and grace to help in time of need. Grace is supernatural enabling. It's God giving me what I don't have to do what it is He wants me to do. He will enable us to fulfill His commands. In 1 John 4:7, it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, any relationship, if it's going to be successful, it takes two Holy Spirit empowered and Holy Spirit controlled individuals. Did you catch that? For a relationship to be what it was meant to be by God, both of you have to be saved, but also under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's four things about love that came to me. Number one, love is kind. And in marriage, we can forget to show kindness. We can show kindness at work. We can show kindness at the restaurant. But when we get home, somehow we forget to show kindness. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And then in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see those words, one another, that means I am to prefer you over me. I am to communicate kindness from me to you. I'm to communicate tenderheartedness from me to you. I'm to communicate forgiveness from me to you. I am to communicate love and patience and long-suffering from me to you. It's supposed to be communicated, not kept static. Love is kind. We all want it, but sometimes we forget to show it. Number two, you know, love shows approval. Love shows approval. Not just in marriage, but as a brother or sister in Christ, this is key. Because one of the most vicious things Christians do to each other is we hold back our approval of someone. We don't have to approve of what they're doing. But imagine if God held back His approval of us as a person. He doesn't always approve of what I do, right, brother? But He always loves me. And when I pull back my approval from somebody, it's the most vicious thing you can do as a Christian, because you destroy them. Ask yourself, do you express approval to your spouse, to your kids? Well, yeah, they're my. How about your brother or sister in Christ? I mean, most people do respond better when communicated with love rather than condemnation. It's one to another. My acceptance of you. Because God accepted me where he found me. But he loved me too much to leave me there. So there's no get out of jail free card. I get to go on and do whatever I want. But the truth is, never do I have a chance or a time or the right to not accept you, to approve of you as a person. So love not only is kind and shows approval. It can be rekindled. Now, when I do marital counseling, people say, well, I just don't love them anymore. I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of amazed at the resiliency of the love of most women. Most women, man, I'm telling you, they'll tell you some horror story about of something they have to put up with that no man would put up with. I mean, at the end of the conversation, it's always, well, I still love him. Huh? God commands us to love each other as a choice. But, you know, I meet some guy, and some guy will say, well, she doesn't love me anymore. Right there is the essence of somebody who did not love his wife like his own body. Without fail. Well, she doesn't love me anymore. Well, then it's because you didn't love her with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. You didn't love her like you love yourself, because they're a mirror of us. There ain't a woman on the planet who doesn't want to be loved with a perfect love that is selfless, that has no performance review at the end of it, that has no strings attached, no expectations. It's just a giving of oneself completely. I find it a lot of times in church members. Remember when, I'll take people back, people say to me, well, I don't love him. Remember what it was like when you first got married? Yeah, and you loved him. Well, you can rekindle that. It's the same thing with being a church member. Remember when you first came, you felt welcome, you felt wanted, you felt warm, you felt included, you felt it. But then something happened. Somebody didn't say something, or maybe they did say something. Or they didn't do what they should have done, or they did do something they shouldn't do. What do you do then? What do you do then when you're trying to love the person sitting next to you in the pew that's not your blood kin, but their blood kin because of the blood of Christ? Well, it can be rekindled if you'll ask God for it. The Bible says in 1 John 4:11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know, I didn't always love God, and my actions betrayed the fact that I didn't love him like I should. But he still loved me. He still loved me. So I'm supposed to love each person that way. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So I pray. Listen, if you don't have love for somebody in this room, you need to pray and ask God for it. To be stingy with your goodness is just as bad as yelling and calling people names and saying terrible things. Because to withhold your goodness, withhold your benevolence, to withhold your love. They say Christians are the meanest people because we shoot our own wounded. We kick each other when we're down. Love is not to be just kept in here. It is to be communicated to the people sitting next to us. It is to be communicated. And people seem to respond to love really well. I mean, nobody really cares what you know until they know what you care, right? That is a universal law. And I'm amazed that we can communicate this to one another. Did you know that anyone can criticize? But it takes some love for you to express appreciation for their character and for who they are. Number two, you can communicate love by spending time together. Don't tell me you love me, but you can't hang out with me. Right? Don't tell me you love me, but you don't want to spend time with me. You know, you can't stand to be around me more than you have to be. Remember, you can communicate love by expressing appreciation, by spending time. Number three, by remembering each other. Remembering each other's birthdays, anniversaries. Remembering each other's life events. Man, being sensitive if they had a loss. You know, when so-and-so's husband passed or when their wife passed or something. Remembering them. How about being courteous to each other? Not taking your brother or sister in Christ for granted. We can show love. We can communicate love by being courteous. The Bible says in Romans 15:7, Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Be quick to assume you're part of the blame. That's a good way to communicate love, because nobody's right 100% of the time. Number six, concentrate on being the right kind of brother or sister in Christ rather than being right. I have these conversations with pastors on the phone, and I say to them, are you more interested in being right or having the ability to minister? Do you got to be right? Is it important to you personally that you're always seen as the one who was right? Let me tell you something. If you're in the right, God is your defense. If you're in the wrong, you just don't have a defense. Plain and simple. You want to communicate love one to another? Take your part of the blame. Concentrate on being the right kind of brother, the right kind of sister. Be a battery, not a drain, please. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhorting one another is to encourage one another to love and good works. It's to motivate to act, to do good. Be generous with your outward affection. Remind your brothers and sisters in Christ they matter to you. Everyone matters. One of the things I work with one of my sons is you need to remember people's names. You ought to remember their names. They've only been coming here 3 years. You probably ought to remember their name by now. If they've been coming 6 or 8 months, you really ought to remember their name. Man, there's no better way to express your love for somebody than, what's your name? Let's talk. Let's use each other's names. Encourage one. I was talking to Brother Jim about this the other day. In Romans 16:6, we are thankful we don't do this custom. It's salute one another with a holy kiss, right? We're glad that cultural distinction kind of faded out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Although they were so excited down in Arkansas to have a pastor after 5 years, they were hugging and kissing me. It was crazy. Encourage each other. Everyone is a little tired. Everyone is a little discouraged. All the time. It's not hard to find a little discouragement in our lives. Let's encourage one another. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one to another. The word edify means to build up. Build up. Build up. People come to me on Sunday and they'll say, man, I just made it. Oh, I just made it. And I'll say, praise God, you made the right decision. You know, I almost didn't make it. I almost didn't come. I almost didn't come. Yeah, but you made the right decision. Praise God. I'm so glad you're here. Let folks know you appreciate the fact that they're there. Pray for each other and pray with each other. And lastly, be filled with the Spirit. Every day asking God to show you sin that may be between you and Him and between you and your brother and sister in Christ. It's not hard. God will talk to you. If you say, God, is there something I need to forgive somebody? Is there something I need you to forgive me for that I haven't thought of? Is there something I need somebody else to forgive me for that I don't even know about? And if you'll pause, God will talk to you. There's probably things that you don't even realize, but somebody else is stewing because the devil knows about it. See, love is not supposed to be kept here. It is supposed to be communicated from me to you, from me to you, from you to the next person, you to the next person. It's to be communicated. And if you can think of like telegraph wires or telephone lines or two soup cans and a piece of yarn, you know what I'm saying? We could communicate. We used to have these walkie-talkies when I was a kid. Brother Hunt, did you have walkie-talkies when you had kids? Oh, man, we didn't go anywhere without them. And we could communicate back and forth. That's how our love needs to be with the person sitting in this room, the persons that you'll meet on Sunday. The person at your job tomorrow. Anybody can condemn and criticize. But the love of Christ is best seen when we're helping others, raising other people up, affirming other people, accepting other people. Don't let the love of Christ within you be static, stagnant in you. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you for this opportunity to be together tonight. I love each and every person here, and I'm blessed to be loved by them. And I ask God that you would help us to reach out beyond these walls with the love of Christ, that others would come to know Him as their Savior. And God, that we, being empowered by your love, could love in a way that's beyond the understanding of even of ourselves and those we encounter, that they too will see that it's supernatural. We're blessed to know you as Savior and call upon you and to be loved by you. And Father, let us be those agents, those ambassadors of love here. Now tonight, as we go our separate ways, God bless us and keep us safe. Return us back Sunday. We'll worship and serve you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming this evening. You know,